Luke chapter 17. I'll ask you to stand, please, in respect to the Word of God. I want to say I'm thankful for this week. You're in order, honey.
Amen.
This little girl is lost. She's come a weeping. You men of God, come and let's pray. That's the important thing. If we get too busy in our programs, that's praying with lost sinners is an interruption. We ought to be ashamed. This is, after all, what we're here for. I'm reading one verse tonight from Luke chapter 17. Verse number 32. Three words from the mouth of the darling Son of God. He's talking about the end time and the conditions that'll be present just before the Lord comes. He pictures the days of Noah and how they were, and then the days of Lot. And then it seems like he starts another thought, and then he stops and says, remember Lot's wife. Evidently there's something about her that she did or failed to do that's eternally important. I want to preach, if God will help me tonight, on making decisions, wrong and right. That our nation has made some major wrong decisions in the last little while, and that we're on a downward road. I'd like to be very optimistic, but I'm sorry, I can't. Lot and Abraham had trouble among their herdsmen and decided to part company. Abraham said, you take what you want, and I'll take the rest. Abraham stayed in the desert country, and Lot looked off down in the well-watered plain of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's a shame when folks will leave the patriarchs and go to the perverts. It's a shame when we leave old-time religion and go into a modernistic, spiritless religion that cares more about the favor of men than they do their souls. Lot is looking down there at the cattle grazing in the knee-deep grass and thinking about prosperity for his family when he ought to have been looking for a church steeple. And a man of God that had preached to him and not care what he thought about it. We're so engaged of gaining the favor of men that we forget to follow the Holy Ghost of God. I'm glad as a little old out of a boy, I prayed through one morning You say, preacher, I don't know what that is. Well, shame on you. But I prayed one morning down on the hillside under deep conviction and got born again. Came back to the house a new creature, and it's still right tonight. Lot's going down now, leaving the altars of Abraham and going to the alleys of Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
Wrong choice, Lot. You should have stayed up where Abraham was a praying and had the promise of God on him. I want to stay with the people that God's made some promises to. I just want to say this right here. I'll tell you what America better do tonight. We better stay with Israel. Did you hear me tonight? God said that to Abraham, them that bless you, I'll bless them. Them that curse you, I'll curse them. I'm going to tell you, we better stay with them. Amen. I believe that with all my heart. Gone now down into Sodom and Gomorrah, and evidently he's some kind of official setting in the gate. But I want you to know what he's got into has not escaped the eyes of God Almighty. If you're here tonight and a child of God, you can't walk off down into Sodom and Gomorrah and get by with it. The eye of God's on you, and I'm glad. You cannot do wrong and get by. The same God, the same God, the same God that brought judgment to Sodom and Gomorrah is looking in on America tonight. Amen. I don't know how in the world, anybody with a first grade education that can read anything in the Word of God thinks it's all right to be a sexual pervert.
Come on.
I ain't no use you looking at me that way. It ain't gonna change me at all. I'm a preacher. And I'm a telling you tonight, it is wrong then and it's still wrong tonight. It is not an alternate lifestyle. It's an abomination in the sight of God. Amen. And down yonder in Sodom and Gomorrah, in the filth of the city, was Lot. Out of the will of God. But up yonder in the desert, Abraham sitting in his tent, and down through the desert came three men that just wasn't men, but the angels of God. I'm glad God's coming to check up. Amen. Thank God tonight. We're not left down here without any help and without any hope. There's a God in heaven that'll check up on things. Amen. Whoa, I'm glad, thank God I'm saved, and that I know it's real in my heart. And God's coming to check up. He's coming down to Sodom and Gomorrah to see if it's as bad as the cries coming up that says it is, and stopped in at the tent of Abraham and had supper with him. Had cornbread and milk and butter. That's what it was. And had beef, and that's exactly what he ate. And if it's good enough for angels, good enough for me and you. Amen. And God's going to walk off now down into Sodom and Gomorrah. But he said to Abraham, to the angels, I'll not keep this thing from Abraham, because he's going to command his own house. God will talk to folk that will deal right with their own household, their own church, and with the Word of God. He hadn't quit. He's still in that kind of business. God's going to bring destruction. Now, Abraham begins to deal with God and said, well, suppose you find 50 folk down there that are righteous, so God said, I'll not destroy it. And he said, 40 and 35 and 30 and 20, and came on down to 10. And the angel said, of God said, if there's 10, I'll not destroy it. Now, if I read right, get on down there and kind of read between the lines, it looks like that Lot had 10 members of his family down there, sons-in-law and daughters, and that guy, if he'd have got his own household right, he could have saved Sodom and Gomorrah. I believe we ought to be working on our own households. of you, but it doesn't make you near. So probably done left most of you anyway. But I'm going to tell you the greatest detriment to the American home tonight is that ungodly monster sitting in your living room, dispersing garbage up from every corner of the earth. Amen. Amen. Well, I know it's right. You say, preacher, you've outlived your time. Well, maybe so, but until God takes me, I'm still going to preach the ways of holiness. It is right. Amen. I want to say to you tonight, God help America for feeding our children the garbage out of hell in Hollywood. I tell you what we better do, get them in an old-time, a spirit-filled church where the man of God is not afraid of the politics of this world and will preach the word of God while it's still time. I don't know how much more time there is to preach, but thank God we better be doing it while we've got time. Amen. Well, Lot decides the angels come down, find him sitting in the gate. Evidently, he recognizes them as somebody, took them home with him. And you know the story of the homosexuals about the door and the God wanting them angels. I'm telling you what's right tonight. It's worse in America than you think it is. It's worse in America. It's not just in the Catholic Church. It's in the Baptist and Methodist and Presbyterian. God help us once again to stand up for what's right. Amen. Amen. I didn't just find this all out last year. I knew it when I was a little old kid. Amen. Wrong choice, Lot. Wrong choice to want a position in Sodom and Gomorrah rather than stay in the desert place with Abraham and pray and live right. All of you know the story. He went to his sons-in-law and they laughed at him. No doubt said, you're an old fogey. We just don't do things like that. There's no God going to destroy our city. I'm going to tell you what tonight, I love America, but I'm going to tell you we'll pay for what we've done. I want to tell you something else tonight. It's a shame. I do not understand anybody with any amount of intelligence that thinks it's all right to kill little babies in the womb. Are you hearing this old wore out preacher tonight? It is sin. It is wrong. It's always been, and it still is. Are y'all with me?
Come on. Sure.
What a mess. What a choice. I'm talking to some folk right here tonight that have got choices facing you in your life. What you're going to do this year, this month, about your job, about your family, and about your church. Now I'll tell you what you better do. You better pray and ask God what's right for your life. Amen. Now the time, I'm going to tell you, the times are coming when the gate will be closed and you can't get back where you ought to get. You can go so far that there's no way of returning and getting back to where God is. Amen. All of you know the smoke and the fire and the degradation in the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. But everybody's not making wrong choices. There's still a remnant in this world that knows how to make right choices. I'm reading now from the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Oh, happy day. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing rather. I want you to get this. Choosing rather. That's exactly what we ought to do tonight. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. For he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Good choice, Moses. Good choice, Amram and Jochebed. Thank God down in Egypt, when the children of God began to multiply, how the Egyptians said, we got to do away with these little boy babies because they're going to get too many and they'll turn on us. And so the decree went out to kill all them boy babies. But God, them the handmaidens, thank God, them little old Hebrew babies got born before they ever got to them. Hallelujah. And God saying, now here's a little old Hebrew boy born, and he's a goodly child. Amram and Jochebed, I no doubt had prayed for him, and here he is. And the decrees up from up at Pharaoh's house, and all them boy babies would be killed. I see them soldiers come knocking on the doors. Any boy babies in this house? Amram and Jochebed hiding that little old boy and nourishing him. And when the soldiers had gone, they'd sing, no doubt, the old song, the Israelite song, and encourage one another in the Lord. Hear me, parents, tonight. You don't have to give your children to the devil. God will help you to hide them from the wickedness of this world that's going on. You get them in the house of God. Let an old-time man of God's not afraid of association, not afraid of the president and the Congress. Let a priest to them, hallelujah, and tell them that Jesus saved. Jesus saved. Whoop, whoop, hallelujah. I'm glad the good old-time way is still in. I can see in my mind's eye, I can see Jochebed fearing the time's coming when he's going to cry out when the soldiers come. I see her begin to form a little old ark. Realize she's going to have to commit him to the hands of God. And I'll tell you what, Mom and Daddy, it's going to be a time when you can't hold on to him no more. And you're going to have to commit him to the Lord. And I can see her forming that little old ark out of bulrushes. And with her tears, forming the moisture to put it together. Taking little old Moses up and lay him down in there. And measure him and try him and lay him out again. And fix it just a little bit better for him to lay in. Amen. I'll tell you what, Mom and Daddy, pray with them around the house tonight. Get together around the piano, the guitar, and sing them old songs that'll ring in their heart as long as they live. They'll be, if you rear your child right, if you raise your child right, there's some things he can't get away from. And oh, train you up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. I asked a Hebrew professor if he'd really work that verse right there for me and get the good out of it and tell me what it really means. I mean, really tell me what it means. And he said, Brother Milby, I'll do it. And he worked on that verse, worked on it, and he taught Greek and Hebrew, I believe both. And he worked on that verse and worked on it. And I went down there one day and he had two typewritten pages that he had written on. And I said, have you got it? I said, I got it. And I said, well, what's it mean? He said, you'll probably need to sit down. And I said, well, I believe I can take a stand up. And I said, tell me what it means. I'm going to tell you what it means. He said, I've worked her from one end to the other. And he said, here's exactly what it means, literally. Train ye up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. You can't beat that kind of interpretation. I kind of had a sneaking suspicion that was right. And I believe she wept over little old Moses one day. Said, we can't hide him any longer. Put him in that little old ark and took him down by the river and set him down in it. Had a river full of crocodiles. And I guess they both stood there and wept and saw him bump along the edge and the flags. And Miriam, his little old sister, just kind of got going yesterday. Today's my day. And I see him make a dive for that child and get almost to it and run into something. And bounce off and come back and shake his head and say, what's the matter? He said, I don't know. Holy oil, maybe ought to try it. And they go and bounce off of something and come back and said, what's the trouble? And that last one said, I don't really know what it was that I hit, but it looked like it had a sign on it that said, Mama's Prayers. Amen. And up yonder in Pharaoh's house, his daughter gets a yearning for a bath.
Yeah.
Not by accident. I believe an angel of God whispered in her ear and said, you're dirty and you need to go wash. Down to the river's brink she goes with her handmaidens. And I don't doubt a bit, one of them angels pinched little old Moses and he let out a cry. And you know right in the heart of that girl, if there is such a thing as an angel that throws love darts, if there's a Cupid angel, I believe he drove back and farted into her heart. And she said, oh, it's one of the Hebrew babies. And she took him up out of the water, held him to herself. I hear her say, now, this is good, and I love this little boy, but I don't know what to do with him. Miriam said, ma'am, would you like for me to go get one of the Hebrew women to take care of it for you? She said, yes, honey, that'd be a good idea if you know a good one that could really take care of the child. Miriam said, I believe I've got just the woman in mind. Now, I'd have liked to have been up at Amram and Jochebed's house and that little girl run in and said, Mama, guess what? Pharaoh's daughter's got little Moses. Took him up out of the water and don't know what to do with him. They want a woman to take care of him and help him and they'll pay her. Amen. I believe Jochebed took that precious little boy into her home. I suppose he stayed with Pharaoh. I know he did. You know, down through the years and go back to his mama's house and educated in Pharaoh's courts. I don't doubt the what he's setting him up for the next Pharaohship. I don't doubt it at all. But every once in a while, I believe that Jochebed get that little old boy. Now, I'm not going to hit you, but I know what you do. I believe she said, son, whose boy are you? I said, Mama, and he said, no. Look at me. Whose boy are you? He said, I'm your mama. Said, you see, son, you see all them little ragged people out yonder making bricks. You know who those folk are? Bo said, I guess, are they my people? Said, they're your people. Don't you ever forget that they're your people. I want to tell you tonight, I got a tie to a family.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any difference what this world does, I'm tied to it.
Yeah.
Amen. They're my people. No matter where I go, no matter what I do, I'm tied to a certain. I do not belong in this world. I belong with the family of God. Amen. He, thank God, came to age. No doubt one day, looking out that window, that little bunch of ragged Jews making bread, he said, I don't belong here. I belong out there. Took off that royal robe and walked out among them and said, I'm a part of this crowd. Amen. I want you to know I'm a part of this shouting, praying crowd. Hallelujah. That'll still pray for sinners when they come to an altar. Hope you'll make right choices in the days to come. I hope and pray in my heart, mamas and daddies, you'll get your young'uns in a church that'll pray and preach and sing and get away from the old programs that are dead and without God. I'm glad I'm saved tonight. Now, I'm not really gonna give an altar call. But there's some folk in here tonight facing things in the next few days and months that you sure need to pray about. And if God deals with your heart tonight, I'd not leave here till I got in an altar and asked God to help me. God help us men tonight. We ought to pray about where we ought to live. You young people ought to pray about who you're going to marry, men and women. I'm going to tell you, our churches ought to pray for the power of God and right thinking. It's almost too late, but it's not too late. Amen. To pray for our children and make right decisions. I've made some bad ones in my day, but I've made some good ones. I'll never forget the morning when God saved me, barefooted boy with overalls on, down on the hillside of praying. And I got born again that morning. Right decision, preacher Nilby. Thank God. One day, one night, laying yonder in the back room of that old house, I could see the stars through the board roof when God called me to preach. And after about 4 or 5 years of running, I said, yes, Lord. Good decision, brother Nilby. Thank God. Thank God. Everybody is not making wrong decisions. Bless his name. Thank you for letting me preach to you tonight. Come on, Brother Neesmith. I'm done. Thank God. Amen.